How could this have happened? That's a question that really comes to mind when we read our first passage from the second book of Maccabees. First, some background. About 330 years before our Lord, Alexander the Great had conquered Asia Minor, Syria, the Holy Land, Egypt, Persia, and was moving even past Afghanistan into India. Upon his death, though, his kingdom was divided, and the Seleucids took over Syria, and by the year 175 had control of the Holy Land. A king named Antiochus Epiphanes IV decided everyone should be the same, so he wanted everyone to be sort of secular, except Hellenistic. So everyone was going to have Greek culture, including the Jews. So under his orders, the Jews were not allowed to practice their faith. They could not perform their different rituals or types of worship. They were forbidden from even reading the Torah. The Torah, other sacred writings, were gathered up and burned. If parents had their son circumcised in accord with the Torah, they would be crucified, and the baby would be hung from the mother's neck. Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple area. In the big courtyard, he set up brothels for men, women, boys, girls, you name it, it was there. On the altar of sacrifice to Yahweh, he erected a statue of the god Zeus and had pigs offered in sacrifice, those swine that were forbidden by the Torah. He took the temple treasury, the sacred vessels, and used them for sacrilegious purposes. And one has to wonder, how could this have happened? If we look at Maccabees, we read a disturbing verse. All of the Gentile conformed to the command of the king, and many Israelites were in favor of his religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. Many Israelites were in favor. How could this have happened? Did they forget the covenant? All that God had done for them? So easily did they just give up their faith? All of a sudden, instead of worrying about living God's way of life, they looked to a pagan way of life. Instead of living in God's kingdom, they were happy with a kingdom of power, material things, and honors. Instead of having truly a faith that is in union with God, it was simply a fleeting faith. Perhaps the problem really was the issue of their faith. Their faith had become just cultural for so many, just going through the routines, going through the rituals, but nothing really heartfelt. Simply a cultural faith, not a faith that permeated one's whole being, that was rooted in the depths of one's soul, but a very superficial faith. Yet, there were those that kept the faith. And here we have that disturbing excerpt from a passage in chapter 7 of 2 Maccabees. Here we have a mother with her seven sons. They refused to give in to Antiochus Epiphanes. They refused to worship the false gods, refused to eat pork and desecrate their lives. And for this, they're tortured from the oldest son down to the youngest in the eyes of their mother. First, they're scourged, they're scalped, the hands, the feet are cut off, their tongues are cut out, and finally roasted alive. Can you imagine watching your own sibling? Can you imagine watching your own child undergo this? But what does the mother say to the youngest when it comes to his turn? She says, "Son, have pity on me, who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy I may receive you again with them." There was strong faith. Yes, they all died, but they died with that hope of the resurrection. Antiochus Epiphanes could not take their soul. He could only take their soul if they gave it to his pagan ways. And so the faith went on. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have to think then, what about our own faith? After all, we have Christ. We don't have just the Jewish understanding of a resurrection, a life after this. We have Jesus. Jesus showed us that he is true God, the Savior, the Lord, who came into this world, revealed God's truth, who took our sins upon himself, offered the sacrifice for our sins, and rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and with his ascension, has promised us and prepared for us a place in heaven. Recall what Jesus said to the apostles at the Last Supper. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith. I have prepared a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and I will come back to take you with me." Have faith. And with our Lord ascending into heaven, he's transcended this time and space so that he can be with each of us every moment of our lives. Yes, he can be present to us every moment of our lives. So what do we really have to fear? Death and Antiochus Epiphanes? Nothing, as St. Paul would say. We have nothing to fear because of Christ. But we have to have faith, real faith, living faith. Now, one could look at the early church, the first 300 years. We're under Roman persecution, yet there were many martyrs. All the apostles, except St. John, who survived the means of execution, gave their lives freely. So many other martyrs that we remember lived during that time, but the church continued on. Why? Strong faith in individuals, in marriages and families. We had parents like this woman from Maccabees who encouraged their children to keep the faith. But think of later on. Think of when Europe is known as Christendom, when the people have been evangelized. How could it be that in 1534, King Henry VIII all of a sudden could say, "I'm the head of the church," and sever a whole country from the rest of the Catholic Church? And they all fell into line overall. Yes, there were those who were willing to go to death. St. Thomas More, our patron saint for the diocese, gave up his position. And yes, he was almost, they tried to bribe him with powers, honors, riches, but he willingly gave all of that up and before the axe fell said, "I'm the king's good servant, but God's first." St. John Fisher, the only bishop in all of England to stand up to Henry VIII. What happened to the rest of them? Maybe their faith became simply cultural. But the faith continued in England through strong individuals, marriages, and families. Or go later, 1789, Catholic France. How could it be that a revolution in France that talked about equality and fraternity and liberty persecuted the church, tried to wipe it out? Many apostatized, including priests, and yet there were always the faithful. But how could it have happened? Maybe the faith had become just comfortable, just cultural. Or think of 1930s Spain. Here, Catholic Spain, and communists take control of the government. There's a civil war. Thousands of priests, brothers, and sisters are killed. How could that have happened? It must have been a cultural faith. But again, the faith survived. Strong, faith-filled individuals, marriages, and families. So what about us? Now, we think in America, oh, this could never happen in America. But sometimes I wonder, could it happen in America? Could there be that idea of having such a secular culture that we're going to eradicate religion? Would we buy into that? For instance, having lived as long as I have, I remember in the 1960s when the Supreme Court ruled that kids could no longer pray in school, that they could no longer read the Bible in a public school. I remember that. Don't we all remember how every year in Leesburg there's a fight about a nativity scene? can we have a nativity scene? Or do we have to have a scene that has also a menorah and a Santa Claus and even an atheist display? Why can't we have a nativity scene? There's always controversies over prayers in public meetings. The Supreme Court just heard another case this past Tuesday. When will they say, we'll decide what you can pray and to whom you may pray to? Think of that. Or think of just the recent government shutdown. Do you all know that on military basis, Catholic priests who are not official chaplains but serve Catholics on those bases were not allowed to celebrate Mass? That the chapels on bases were closed, locked, and priests were told, if you come on base and try to celebrate Mass, you'll be arrested? And this one priest actually had Mass for the people in a park near the base. Did any of us hear that? But that's what happened with the so-called government shutdown. Do we realize that the Department of Education is trying to institute this core curriculum and bribe state governments with money? But the core curriculum includes, in grade 4, a whole lesson plan on deviant lifestyles and how they're the new normal. And also, a world history book has a whole chapter, 32 pages, on Islam and a footnote on Christianity. I wonder, could it happen in this country? I don't know. We shouldn't take our freedom of religion for granted. But ask yourself this. If the government closed the churches, if the government said, no, you can't pray anymore, would you still do it? Or would we fall into line like those Jews did at the time of the Maccabees? My brothers and sisters, what we need today are real faith-filled individuals, marriages, and families. Pope Francis recently said, we can't say we're a Christian and act like a pagan. We have to live our faith. Therefore, please, during this last couple of weeks, as we're about to close our year of faith, about to close our liturgical year, pause and look into your life. After all, Christ suffered, died, and rose for us. Believe that. And with that belief, live that. We need homes, real Catholic Christian homes, where the Lord is truly present. You parents have to fight the good fight. You're the ones, like the mother in Maccabees, have to encourage your children to be true to the faith. You have to teach the faith to your children. You have to give them the identity. You're a Catholic Christian. Remember that. Act that way. You're the ones that have to pray with your children. You're the ones that have to set the priority. God comes first. This is essential in our world today. How important this is. I have to say, as a priest, now almost 30 years, I've known so many good families in this parish. But a good example just happened this morning. I celebrated a wedding mass for a young man whom I've known since the year 2000. So I've known him since high school. So here he is getting married to a good Catholic girl, both living their faith, true to their faith, and they have parents who live their faith and grandparents who've lived their faith. It hasn't been easy. We all know that, especially considering how long the grandparents have lived. But isn't that beautiful? And that gives us hope. When you see good, strong families that put God first, who love our Lord Jesus, and Jesus is the Lord of their home, who really are trying to inculcate that identity into their children, that gives us such great hope. And with such hope, what do we really have to fear in this world? But the challenge again is, what about us? So my brothers and sisters, take time to continue to renew your own faith. But as we prepare to receive our precious Lord in the Holy Eucharist, let us open up our hearts, and allow Him to fill our souls so that we know His presence and thereby live in His presence each day this week. May God bless you.